Secretary of the Department of Energy Rick Perry recently toured North America's youngest, most efficient coal-fired electricity plant, Longview Power, in West Virginia.
This is a very enlightening stop. This technology, this ability to deliver a secure, an economical, and an environmentally good source of energy is really important.
20 days' worth of coal is always stockpiled at the plant, fed directly from the mouth of a nearby coal mine via a 4.5-mile-long conveyor belt. About 600 employees work together to keep rock burning hot, to boil water, to make steam, which turns a turbine, creating 700 megawatts of electricity for the region. It's also really loud. Longview manager Chad Huffnagel led a tour through the facility.
This is the turbine building. This is where we take the steam from the boiler and we rotate the turbine in order to take the mechanical energy into electrical.
Secretary Perry and many federal lawmakers see big benefits in keeping coal-fired power going. But not many new coal power plants are slated for construction, if any. Plans were drawn for Longview in 2001. It was financed in 2007 and turned on for the first time in 2011. A couple years later, it went bankrupt. But after reorganization, the Trump administration considers Longview the best example of clean coal in the U.S., even though it doesn't capture carbon emissions, which is something generally thought of as part of clean coal technology.
The people who make their living in the coal mines, running plants like this, they have a friend, a proponent in the White House and Donald Trump.
But coal is getting old. The average age of coal plants in the U.S. today is about 40 years. Even with relaxed federal regulations on coal-fired power plants, 8,000 megawatts of additional coal power are expected to be retired this year. That's like 11 Longviews. And 13,000 megawatts were retired last year, and many of those before planned retirement dates. Fleets of new natural gas power plants are in the works. Three are pending in West Virginia, a dozen in Ohio, and in Kentucky, one of the largest electricity utilities in the country, Tennessee Valley Authority, just celebrated shifting half of its largest electricity plant from coal to gas. President and CEO Bill Johnson addressed a crowd gathered in Paradise, Kentucky.
It's a big part of our priority here to diversify our fleet to make sure that we are making electricity at the lowest feasible rate.
Directly behind me is the new Paradise Combined Cycle facility, and it's co-located with the unit down the hill, which is part of our Paradise Coal facility.
That's Senior Vice President of Power Operations, David Sorek. He says the new TVA natural gas facility cost $1 billion.
Natural gas is more flexible, it's cheaper to operate, and it's also more efficient.
It also produces 40 to 50% of the carbon emissions compared to the coal unit, and no mercury, and a lot less soot. And that might translate, believe it or not, to fatter babies in the region.
And there's a backwards old town that's often remembered. So many times that
Paradise became a household name thanks to John Prine's ballad about the costs of coal extraction.
Down by the Green River where Paradise lay. Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away.
But what Prine couldn't see were a lot of the health effects of burning coal, effects that would take years to observe. The TVA has been burning coal just outside of Paradise for 50 years, but it started burning a lot more in the 80s, as researcher from Carnegie Mellon University Edson Severnini noticed.
It was completely related to the Three Mile Island partial meltdown in 79, and that triggered this substitution between nuclear and fossil fuel.
TVA retired some of its nuclear generators in the wake of the disaster, replacing them with coal. That swap in the mid-80s provided Severnini opportunity to study public health impacts in places where coal power generation increased, places like Paradise.
There was a huge increase in coal-fired power generation, a high increase in air pollution, and in that particular location, there was a decrease in birth weight by 5.4%.
He looked at recorded birth weight in the first 18 months after the region's switch to coal. It was accessible data, and apparently birth weight is a reliable indicator of human health outcomes later in life. Low birth weight can be linked to shorter lifespans, higher susceptibility to diseases, even a person's ability to thrive socially. Severnini published his findings in the journal Nature in April.
What I wanted people to think about is, what are the consequences of energy choices?
No matter how you burn it, coal is an organic material and will produce emissions. Recent studies indicate soot from coal power plants account for about 7,000 premature deaths each year in the U.S., which is a lot fewer than we used to see.
The cleaner you get that carbon-containing compound you're burning, the better it is.
That's physician and public health expert at the University of Pittsburgh, Dr. Bernard Goldstein.
And there are cleaner forms of coal, but none of them are as clean as, say, natural gas.
Goldstein says despite a lack of data to understand the health impacts of the natural gas industry as a whole, it is a significantly cleaner fossil fuel to burn.
Anytime that we've had areas which have gone switched from coal to natural gas, there are far less particulates in the air, and so the pollution levels have decreased because of that switch.
Goldstein says the gas industry has missed opportunities to address its own environmental effects, including pollution near drilling sites as well as waste disposal concerns. As a result, any health effects remain to be clearly understood.
But for natural gas, the major uncertainties play on the people who live next door.
Next door to gas drilling, that is. In other words, any long-term health and environmental effects will likely take years to observe, and the people of the Ohio Valley will likely bear the brunt of those effects, just as they have with coal.
Well, they dug for their coal till the land was forsaken. Then they rode it all down as the progress of man.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Glynis Board in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Down by the Green River, where paradise lay. Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. When I die, let my ashes float down the Green River.